Hi, it's Jamie from Just Insight Consulting. And our post today asks the question, are you ready for July 1st of this year and CASEL and all that that brings with it? So a few years ago, the Canadian federal government passed a new law, Bill C-28, the Electronic Commercial Protection Act. And it's taken a while to get itself organized, but the new law takes effect July 1st of this year. And that's not too far off. The law, sometimes referred to as CASEL, the Canadian Anti-Spam Legislation, has been described as draconian by some and just confusing by others. And still others have applauded it as a massive step towards consumer protection. So what, you say? Well, if you're a business owner, a marketer, or a salesperson who uses any kind of electronic communication to connect with customers or prospective customers, and you don't have $1 million to spare, well, you need to pay attention. There could be a cost of not knowing. Now, there's three federal agencies that will be ensuring compliance with the new law. The Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC, the Competition Bureau, and the Office of the Privacy Commissioner, Canada. And from the legislation, it looks like the CRTC will be able to fine individual violators up to $1 million, and corporations may be fined up to $10 million per occurrence. Ouch. Now, you can read the details of the legislation on their official site. And really, you need to read the full legislation, and then maybe you need to go see a lawyer. Depending on how much of your business relies on email marketing, content marketing, or online prospecting. This law is complex, and there's lots of exceptions within it. For example, it looks like political parties and charities will be exempt, and if you have an existing two-way relationship, in other words, you know, coworkers or family, you should be okay to email them. It also looks like you're okay to email business contacts that have given you their business cards. You just need to be really fastidious about documenting that you were given the card and invited to email him or her. Yeah, right. Sales folks documenting. I don't know about that. Now, the upside is that it looks like the CRTC will not go after you or your business unless there's a complaint. So really, you know, as long as you're really, really nice to everyone from now on, just in case, then you should be okay. Well, here's the gist of the new law, from my understanding, and I am not a lawyer, and this is not legal advice. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the grayer areas of the legislation myself. So take the following as a place to start and with several grains of salt. The new law, as it applies to online or digital marketing, and there's other parts of the legislation that apply to other things, but as far as online marketing is concerned, really it's based on consent. So in many ways, it's permission marketing at its finest. The very basic core of the message is that you can only send commercial electronic messages, CEMs, in digital format to people that have given you either express consent or implied consent. Recorded voice and faxes are not included, but pretty much everything else is, including text and SMS messages. So let's take a look at a couple of these. So express consent has to be clear. You need to ask for an opt-in to specific types of communications, and that consent can be written, electronic, or verbal, but you need to keep records. Implied consent applies if you have an existing business relationship, so current customers that you've had within the past 2 years, people that have made an inquiry within the past 6 months, but it's best to get express consent as soon as possible. There's exceptions. If you find an email address on a public website and they have not stated that they don't want to receive unsolicited communications, then you can contact them provided the contact relates to their official capacity. Referrals are really interesting. So you can send one message to someone that has been referred to you as long as they have an existing relationship with the person you get the referral from and you identify the referrer in the message. But again, you only have one shot at this, so you got to make it really good. You need to include proper sender identification. So in all cases, you need to include who you are, the physical address of your business, and from my understanding, this can be a P.O. box if you run a home-based business. You need to include your contact information and a functional unsubscribed option. So this could have an effect on email signatures, for example. This law is Canadian, so this is in Canada and to Canada. So, for example, if you send an email, this is where it gets kind of dicey. If you send an email to an American prospect who hasn't explicitly or implied an opt-in, but they haven't opted out because the U.S. has this opt-out legislation, if you do that, but the person is in Canada, when they receive your email, chances are you're in violation of the law. Now, there is one really sort of great part about the legislation, and it's around due diligence. So there's wording in the legislation that suggests that as long as you are exercising due diligence, you're going to be okay. But that also means that you have to be diligent. You need to clean your email lists, and you have to not be spammy. So just a couple of examples sort of off the top of my head. What does this mean for business card drops? So you have your bowl set up for your prize draw, and you ask people to drop their business cards in for a chance to win whatever. You can still do that, but can you use those email addresses or phone numbers to send emails or text messages intended to solicit business? Maybe. I know you can probably email the winner, but I'm not sure about what you can do with the actual information on those business cards. Pre-ticking the opt-in box, don't do it. So there's actually an example on the blog post taken directly from the CRTC website. And note that the box is not pre-ticked. And there's really clear links to the company's privacy policy. And there's really specific wording around, you know, you can withdraw your consent at any time. Updating your sign-up form. So if you use a paper document that asks customers to sign up for your email letter, the document that they sign up on has to pretty clearly define what they're signing up for. And it really ought to be dated. And you ought to keep that original document just in case. What about social media? So, you know, LinkedIn has InMail, Facebook has its own email process. What about direct messages on Twitter? It looks like the law is going to apply to some of those. It doesn't apply to public updates, but I'm really not sure, and I'm really curious around how this is going to impact connecting with people through social media accounts. I think we all need more information around this. There's some really good things about the legislation, and there's some things that are really unclear. Fortunately, there's lots of information available online. So I found this one great webinar on YouTube, and the link is at the bottom of the blog post. The video features Sean Brown. He is e-marketing law on Twitter. He's a lawyer, author, and privacy expert, and he explains the CASL ins and outs pretty well. And I have to say that I found that his group blog was really interesting and useful, too. So do check that out. And Constant Contact has a one-page cheat sheet that I thought was also worth a look. And again, those links are at the bottom of the post. So what do you think? Are you confused? Are you ready? Let me know. And if you have a clear and easy-to-understand resource, please share it in the comments or tweet it out to me at JustInsight or at Jamie Billingham. All right, thank you very much. That's it for now, and I will catch you all next time.